Jay, does that also suggest that in the process of creating the new universe that there is a boundary line of what you don't know, you don't know? Like if we were creating a game, it would be this this area where we would create the limits of the game, but we would know, we wouldn't go beyond it because we don't know, we don't know. So God would probably have his own kind of ring of past not that he would be saying, going, wow, what new interesting things can I add to universe 4 version 8?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's probably on something like this. Well,
if I create the game and remember all the rules and, you know, all the things I put in, all the obstacles, that would make it too easy. So I'll just make it so I'll forget all this. I'll forget how the game works. And so I'll approach the game as if somebody has created it for me. And that way, I will not understand how the game works. I'll have to learn the game bit by bit to solve all the problems. And that's basically what happened there.
And using this, I guess staying on track with the path of evolution, then you're also suggesting that we as individuals, we should embrace those new unknowns. It's just how we approach it, because
right.
It's all embedded in the learning of experience.
Right. So in other words, one of the reasons God created this astral body that turns everything upside down, that makes black appear white and white appear black, And Isaiah complained about this. He says, people take good for evil and evil for good. He says, there's not one that knows what good is. Not one, Isaiah kept complaining. And he tried to teach people what was good for them, and they wanted to do the opposite. They thought the opposite of good. They thought evil was good. It was just like our government. They think overspending is good. Both parties are really big on overspending. That's good. That's good for us to overspend. You know, it's a benefit us all. And so they call something that is not good, good. Government is really famous for that. Everything the government teaches is for our good is usually, we usually shrink back and say, not really. But same thing with the preachers. The preachers, one thing that bugged me when I was in the church was the greatest evil they could think of was taking a peek at Playboy magazine when I was a kid. That was like the most evil thing that anybody could do. And I thought, you know, it may not be the highest level of reading, but I don't think it's evil. Yeah, I read them once in a while for the article.
Yeah.
Right. That fold-out article was really good. But I felt, you know, if you do some backstabbing or say something that's really hurtful to a person, I thought when I was in the church, I thought, in my mind, that's a lot more evil than just looking at a Playboy magazine. You know, so people have really weird ideas of what is good and what is evil. And so the emotional body turns everything upside down. It turns everything upside down so our reasoning doesn't really work right. And this is the way God planned it for us, because this is part of the game. He says, in order to get people involved in this game, he says, now for me, jumping into this game is tough. God actually thought it through, but you know, he wanted a new experience. A desire for the new experience was greater than the desire for eternal peace. So he creates this game called the universe. And it was a fearful thing to do. He did it with fear and trembling, thinking of all the things. Because unfortunately for God, in doing this, he had to do some thinking. He just couldn't create the universe on a totally emotional level. It's like when the guy creates the computer game. He has to do it on a very intellectual level. But he doesn't do it with fear, because it's the poor sucker who's playing the game that undergoes the fear. Because he understands the game. But when God created the universe, all of us was going to forget anything about the game or how it worked. So we were all going to have to start from scratch, and he realized this, and it was a very fearful thing to do, to rely on people like you and me that don't know hardly squat about what we're doing to solve all the equations necessary to get back to the state of beginning.
So it really is a miracle that we're here.
It's a miracle we made it this far.
In the Kabbalistic tradition and the tree of life, I mean, I don't understand very deeply, but apparently, like, God had a couple of failed attempts, actually, at creating the universe.
Well, yeah.
The splendors and the points of light all came by back because they just couldn't, you know, get far enough. So he actually apparently failed a couple of times.
Well, there's a lot of failures. I mean, well, just look at Mars, for instance. How big a success is that planet? And might have had a little life on it a billion years ago, scientists think, but it was just probably nothing significant. Other metaphysical people say there was life on Mars at one time, so who knows. But look at some of the asteroids. They're definitely barren and never had any life. People think, well, what was their purpose? And look at this planet. There's disease on it. There's all kinds of problems. You can't really find a perfect crystal. You can't really find the perfect flower, the perfect snowflake. Perfection doesn't really exist here, but this planet is evolving toward greater perfection. So things are not created in perfection. Meaning, and if creation is not perfect, that means the creator is not perfect either. It's an illusion that God is perfect. Now, in the end, when the universe reaches its end, there will be what I call
relative
perfection. That was what I was looking for.
Progress.
Right. So the best perfection we can ever achieve is what we call relative perfection, because perfection is largely in the mind of the beholder. What's the perfect song? Well, some people think it's one song is the best. Other people think another song is the best. Once you get to something where you have relative perfection, then what you choose as the ultimate is just a matter of taste, really. So God jumped into this game, and he produced the emotional world to entice us. Some people think the devil is the big enticer, but it was God that created the emotional world. And without the emotional world, we would just sit around and not do anything because we would be afraid to move, afraid to do anything. But this takes away the fear because there's all kinds of enticements that occur to us. Some people are enticed by alcohol. Some people are enticed by gambling. Some people are enticed by love that a romantic attraction that shouldn't even be, it seems like. But when you go in and out of experience, what do you think when it's over? How many here have had a bad marriage? Raise your hand. Okay. Lorraine.
Yeah.
Would you trade that experience?
Nope. Maybe bigger, better, stronger.
You wouldn't say if God come to you and says, I'll just take that experience out of your memory, out of your life, like it never happened. Shall I do that for you?
Would I lose my children?
I guess. He took the experience away. Everything that was connected with that experience is now gone. Would you trade it?
No. Because I have good stuff in there, too.
Yeah. How about you, Susan? Would you trade your tough experiences?
I think I was on the fast track to learning because I had some pretty tough things I went through. But, yeah, they made me who I am.
Yeah, when I think of the toughest things that happened in my life, I wouldn't trade them for anything. But then when I think that, I think that God doesn't mean I want more right now. Give me a little rest, please. It's funny how you think. You think, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but I don't want more. No, no more, please.
I trade every one of my marriages for one I have.
Well, isn't that sweet?
Rand, you just don't have bill points. Rand, I'm taking notes, Rand.
I so missed that opportunity.
Wait a minute, they have one.
Let's get that recorded. I think when the audience listens to this, they probably won't deserve what you said.
What I did. Oh, what did I say? I would trade every one of my marriages for the one I have.
Trade every one of his marriages for the one he's got. Boy, has he scored.